Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the You Should Run podcast. I'm your host, Tony Heil, council member in Bridgeport, Pennsylvania, which is near Philadelphia, and is also, as I know, between 4 and 11 hours away from Providence, Rhode Island. I know that because my wife is from Providence, and we drive there, and if it's a nice day, it's easy to get to Providence, and if we have to go through Connecticut the holidays, it could be terrible. But one thing that's not terrible, and I'm very excited about, is my guest today, the mayor of Providence, Rhode Island, Jorge Elorzo. And I'm really excited to talk about what's going on in Providence, why it's a really cool town, and maybe why you should consider getting involved in city government and running for office. So, Mayor, thank you for joining us today.
It's great to be here, Tony. Thank you for doing this.
Well, thank you. As you know from our back and forth, I have family from Providence, though I grew up in Pittsburgh, and we actually have a little bit in common. My brother-in-law, Chris, I think he sat next to you in class and maybe copied some answers from you in class. I don't know.
Or the other way around. I do vaguely remember Chris. If I'm not mistaken, he was a very, very nice guy. I hope he's doing well. So please let him know that I say hi.
I will.
If there was anyone in high school least likely to succeed or least likely to ever have any kind of authority in this world, it probably would have been me who was voted. So if he doesn't know I'm mayor, when you tell him that, if he remembers me, he'll be shocked.
Oh, he remembers you. He brought that up, not me. I don't know. But you say you were the least likely to be in authority at the time, and that brings up the most important part of this podcast is, you know, when did you get involved in politics? When did it come to you that, you know, you needed to do, maybe not even running for office, but you needed to be very attuned to what was going on?
So for me, it all started in 2008 as I watched then Senator Barack Obama's campaign for president. It was really the first campaign that I had ever followed, and I got really excited about it because I was so concerned about the state of our country under George W. Bush. So I heard about this young senator and got so inspired by his message and just the way that he carried himself that I followed the campaign very closely. And as I see him continue to go through the primary and then the general election, then eventually win, you know, it kind of came together in my mind, this thought that someone who's honest and genuine and is into politics for all the right reasons can be successful. And so that's the first time that the idea even entered my mind that I may go into politics. Because remember that I grew up in Providence in the 80s and 90s. And, anyone familiar with Providence during those times knows that Providence was run, you know, through this machine style politics. In fact, our mayor during those times was convicted of a felony and had to resign twice, both times in disgrace. So I had a sense that politics was dirty, that politicians were not to be trusted, and it's something that I wanted nothing to do with. And it wasn't until Barack Obama came and changed my view of politics that I even thought that, you know, maybe I would get involved and have a future in it.
You know, I was just talking to a friend of mine who I'm on council with. You and I are both got involved in politics, I'd say younger ages. I ran for office in my early 30s. I think you were in your 30s when you got involved in thinking about it. And I feel like people our age and younger, you know, they want politics to be different than that, just like you said. Do you sense that in the politics of Providence changing, of people saying, no, we're gonna be more real, we're going to be more open, we know how people viewed this before, and we want something better?
I think for sure. And I'm not sure exactly where the line is, but definitely people, the younger generation, they want more out of politics. And, a couple things come to mind. On the one hand, it's great to see so many young people getting involved in politics today. The level of activism and the level of awareness of what's happening is far beyond what, you know, I and my friends had at the time. You know, I'm sure if I was talking to your brother-in-law, Chris, back in high school, the last thing we would ever talk about was something policy-oriented or politics. But now young people are having these conversations, and so that's really exciting. And it goes a long way to hold our elected officials accountable and make sure we're electing the right people. You know, that's one thing. The second thing, in terms of what brand and style of politics, I think that the politics of the past just doesn't sell anymore. I've been talking a great deal here in our city about the new Providence and how the new Providence is very different from the Providence that I grew up in. It starts off with honesty and integrity, but it goes on into just simple professionalism in the way that we run things, making sure that everyone has a fair shot, making sure that everyone gets treated equally. The kinds of things that you would expect from people who represent you, you know, now we're delivering them. And, you know, I think it's impossible to go back from where we are now. And then the last piece of this is that young people also want us to be tackling some of the most difficult and challenging issues in our world today. And, you know, there's this can-do spirit about young people that, you know, still believe that we can do anything. And that's inspiring because it forces us at every level of government to lean into these issues. So take, for example, the issue of climate change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the truth is that climate change is much bigger than any one of us, any city, any state, any country. It really has to be a global movement. And whereas perhaps that would lead a lot of people to say, well, you know, it's not my responsibility. I leave it up to our global leaders. In fact, the opposite has happened, and it's a global issue, which means that every single person has to get involved. And some of the most exciting and forward-thinking work in this space is happening at the local level right now. And so that's another part of this energy that young people are bringing to it, that regardless of how big the issue is, they want to see us tackling it. And they're going to elect folks that speak on those issues, that take on those issues, and those who don't, they're going to be held accountable and voted out of office.
Yeah, I feel, as someone in local government myself, which is similar to your role, but obviously in a smaller way, you look at some of these issues where if you're in government, you think you're just managing the day-to-day, but there's almost a moral obligation to try on some of these things, especially climate change. You've made that a big deal. Do you feel an obligation, like you have this power, you have to do something and set an example for others?
So I'll tell you how I approach it. You know, I'm in my sixth year now as mayor, and I'm term limited. I only have about almost three years left. And I feel as though the time is running out. And every time that I've looked back on my time as mayor and, you know, reflect to understand this role better, I always take a more expansive view of what it entails. And so when I think of the time that I have left, I don't want to limit that time to simply the nuts and bolts of balancing budgets and building infrastructure. I want us to take on some of the biggest challenges that we have in our community. And if I don't, then that's a missed opportunity while I had this platform. I don't want to look back and think that I should have or could have done that, anything else. So I'll give you an example of the kind of issues that, you know, I'm really hot on right now. And, you know, I think that one cuts to the heart of many of the challenges that we have in our society today, which is that so many people feel disconnected, they feel forgotten, they feel alone. And, you know, we see the consequences of this in very real ways in our communities, where people are turning to illicit substances. Many folks are taking their own lives, and we see a spike in suicides. And we see depression on the way up. We see mental health challenges that continue to go unaddressed. So this is having a real impact in our community. And what we're doing here in the city, both through our City of Kindness initiative, but also throughout the entire administration, we're looking to see how we can use all the levers of local government and all the resources that we have in our departments to further this goal of enhancing the social capital, that social muscle that exists within our community, and so that the more you exercise it, the stronger it gets. And there's a lot that we can do throughout the city to create that space so that people can come together and feel as though they're part of something bigger than themselves, so that they can find meaning and purpose in their lives as opposed to feeling as though they've been forgotten and perhaps turning to much darker forms of comfort.
When you first decided to get involved in running for mayor, you know, were you, I'm sure a lot of people when they think of running for mayor, I don't want to discount them, but they're thinking small, they're thinking of the day-to-day. Obviously, in Providence, trash collection was a big deal with the issues that went on in the 80s and 90s. But do you think, were you expecting to handle these big, broad topics? And, you know, was that your vision to get done? And have you been happy that you've been able to focus on those things more than others might have?
Yeah, to some extent, we were very ambitious as I was campaigning. And yeah, we did, you know, we did set out to take on, you know, very big issues. Some of them we've accomplished, some of them we're still working on. But as I mentioned, you know, over the years, you pause to reflect and you take on a much more expansive view of what this role entails and the possibilities that are open to you. And so we've taken things on that, you know, frankly, we never thought that we would. So, for example, you know, we do things such as offer really high quality summer camps and childcare during the summer for our families. We do it at a cost of only $5 a week per child. And so this is, you know, this now serves thousands of kids, and you can imagine, you know, how much our parents across the city like this.
Yes.
And you know, this speaks to many of the equity issues that cities are struggling through right now. Childcare is a real challenge. It's extraordinarily expensive. Parents, oftentimes women, moms, are forced to make this a really difficult decision between their careers and their families, and in terms of having extra dollars in the bank to make ends meet and perhaps enjoy a night out with the family, if this money is going to childcare, it just makes it more difficult for people to, you know, enjoy the fruits of all of their hard work. And so I never thought that, you know, nowhere as part of my platform when I first ran was it to address these issues directly. But now we're able to do it, and while we're at it, we're also able to, you know, expose our kids to opportunities and experiences that broaden their horizons. And you know, once, you know, if so long as you surround yourself by really smart, hardworking, talented people that are willing to be creative and take a little bit of risk, you know, you your policies can take you in directions that you never thought were possible. So. You know, again, coming back to this point that I only have less than 3 years left as mayor. And I think that throughout the administration, we feel that pressure that, you know, we may never be in a position like this again in our lives. And we want to make sure that we leave our mark and do as much as we can with the time that we have.
When you talk about childcare, I feel very fortunate that I have a job that gives me flexibility. Obviously, my government work is very part-time in comparison, but my son was sick, and so I was able to go and pick him up. Our daycare, when we had two kids in daycare, was more than our mortgage. I mean, if you're able to help with that for families who are in a different economic situation than mine, it's life-saving, life-changing. And you know, even helping just a few people, I'm sure you see that impact, even if the world doesn't recognize it beyond Providence.
Yeah, $5 a week, you can't beat that. When registrations open, we literally have hundreds of families lined up around the block registering their kids for it. And it's really driven this point home to us that these kinds of services at that price point are vital for our families. And I'd like to think that, you know, two points. First of all, instead of kids sitting at home eating Cheetos and playing video games all summer, now they're active, they're learning, and you know, they're building relationships with kids their age. So that's a positive. And then second, that with all the money that parents are saving throughout the week, that they can use this money not just to pay for necessities, but also to enjoy themselves a little, so they can feel as though they're not part of this rat race 100% of the time. And they can actually enjoy themselves spending time with their families. So, you know, I'm really You know, I'm really excited about this work, and we're going to not just preserve it, but find ways to grow it over time. But that's exactly what I mean with, you know, when you're, you know, when you're in a position like this, there's a lot that you can do. There's a lot that government can do to help support our families, and we want to make sure that, you know, we exhaust every single opportunity that we can find while I'm still in office, so that we make the most out of this opportunity.
Yeah, before I reach out to you, I've talked to other people in the podcast who have run for Congress, even Senate, and the state legislature. So people often think of these big projects like you're talking about with climate change and childcare has become a presidential issue and healthcare like that. Why? And so a lot of voters, maybe especially young voters, think that politics is, you know, what's going on at the presidential level. Why should they be thinking differently to the local level and with when it comes to cities and things like that?
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, there's this big movement happening in politics in America today that still very few people, you know, fully appreciate. And that movement is the decline of the role and influence of the federal government and the rise of the role and influence of local government. And, you know, you can go issue by issue, but the most innovative, forward-thinking work in government happening right now in the United States is almost all happening at the local level. Local governments are by far the best-run level of government, more than state and certainly more than the federal government. And look at the issues. While Congress has talked about infrastructure investments for well over a decade with very little happening, you know, cities and towns, they're stepping up. And I believe in the last elections, about $300 billion worth of infrastructure was approved by voters throughout the countries in local elections. You look at climate change. As our federal government pulls out of the Paris Climate Accord, over 400 cities throughout the country step up and say, well, we're still going to abide by these terms. You look at income inequality. While the federal government is cutting taxes and, you know, giving more subsidies away to the very, very, very top, it's only exacerbating inequality in wealth and income. You know, all of the levers that move the needle on income inequality, they live at the local level. Only about 8% of education spending comes from the federal government. And so, you know, I'm very bullish on this point. I understand that, you know, as a mayor, all of these comments perhaps are a little self-serving. But they're also true. The role of local government has only grown over the past 10 years. And as I look out over the next 10 years, this kind of progressive federalism, where our federal government, either by default, by design, or otherwise, does less, we're going to see that, you know, at the local level, we don't have the luxury to be ideological about our responses. We don't have the luxury to, you know, waste our energies on, you know, one dispute or argument, you know, going back and forth. You know, the currency of purchase in our realm is solving problems, and solving those problems driven and based on evidence. And we're going to be held accountable to our residents who don't want to hear any excuses. And so that's why, you know, the last great hope for politics in our country is coming down to leaders at the local level. And you know, it's an exciting time to be part of local politics. So anyone out there that's thinking about getting involved in politics, who wants to make a difference, we've almost inverted it in its on its head. Whereas before, perhaps the ideal staff job would be working in the Senate or in the White House. I think that the ideal position out there, if you really want to see your work changing the world, you want to work at the local level.
Now, the podcast is called You Should Run, and we're encouraging people to get involved in that process. Are there things that people should know about running for mayor that might be different than running for other things? Because, you know, whether it's relationships you need to build or policies you need to brush up on to lead, you didn't come up from years of being on city council to becoming a mayor. So obviously it was a learning experience for you. What should people know if they want to try this in their city or town?
Huh, that's a great question. You know, what comes to mind is you just got to do it. You just got to jump in, try it, and do it. Now, when I ran for office my first time, to be honest with you, I thought that it was going to be a lot easier than it turned out to be. Thankfully, I won. But I ran into challenges that I simply wasn't expecting. And I think that, you know, the way that I was thinking about it was that, you know, so long as you have the best message, so long as you have the right story, and so long as you have the right vision, that, you know, people will take notice and, you know, you'll be selected. What I didn't fully appreciate was the importance of those personal relationships. And it doesn't matter how good my ideas, story, or policies were, if someone else had those a pre-existing relationship with voters, there was nothing that I could do to break through that. So for anyone who's thinking of running, just make sure that, you know, you're building those quality relationships in the community, because those are the ones that are going to get you, and they're going to be your campaign team, and they're going to be your voices out there as you spread your message. But with that said, you know, for anyone out there who's thinking that they're perhaps not up to the task or the time isn't right for them, just the fact that you're thinking those two things makes me believe that you are the right person to run for office. Because while you're thinking those things, there's someone out there who is less qualified than you, doesn't have the temperament that you have, that is just chomping at the bit to run for office because they think, you know, they are the right one to make the most important decisions in our community. Those are people who are most dangerous for our offices. So to anyone out there, if you're thinking the time's not right or it's just not you, believe me when I tell you that just the fact that you're thinking that makes me believe that you're exactly what our country needs. So just get out and do it.
Well, I've talked with like 50 people on this podcast at various levels. I think that's the best message for why you should run I've gotten, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's great.
But the most important relationship that you have, and we only have a few minutes left, I know you're very busy schedule, is your relationship with Providence. I had never been to Providence before I met my wife. I think it's a really cool town, and it's obviously improved since you got involved in 2008 and before you ran for mayor, because there were a lot of economic problems, and now it's improving a lot. My favorite things are Water, Fire, and Hope Street Pizza, but what's great about Providence that people should know? Because that's your main job as being a cheerleader for this great city.
Yeah, there's so much that we have going for us here in Providence, you know, and that little bit of the history of Providence. So we used to have, we used to be very strong in manufacturing, textiles and jewelry. A lot of that was anchored by the Rhode Island School of Design. So we have this industrial base that attracted immigrants from throughout the world. And so we're an international city. We're a very open-minded city. And, you know, a city that's open to the rest of the world, a very metropolitan city, is also a very, an artistic and welcoming city to new immigrants. And so that's part of our DNA and who we are. So in this city, we have 8 colleges and universities. So we're only 180,000 people here, but to have 8 colleges and universities, including the best an Ivy League university, the best design school in the world, one of, if not the best culinary schools in the world, it just adds so much to the local community. With that said, we also have the best food in the entire Northeast, perhaps with the exception of New York City, because that's its own separate beast. But anyone who comes to Providence, and I mentioned the generations of immigrants that have come to this country, so whether you like Mexican or Bolivian, or whether you like Thai food or Chinese food, whether you like Italian or anything in between, we have it all right here. And then, you know, the last piece of what makes Providence so special is that we're a historic city that has a strong preservation ethos. So as you walk around our streets, you'll see that we preserve many of our historic buildings, and we take great pride in that. So just walking around our city oozes design and artistic quality. That's why we brand ourselves as the creative capital. And anyone who visits the city, I can guarantee you that you'll walk away just blown away, thinking, you know, why haven't I visited before, and when can I visit again? It really is a charming place, so I invite everyone to come and join us.
Yeah, and I recommend if you go in the summer, because there's not a water fire everywhere, and it's one of the coolest things you would never expect outside of Providence.
It is very cool. Water fire, we've entered our 25th year of it. We do it about a dozen times throughout the summer, and it attracts, I believe, about 50,000 people on a warm summer night. It's just a great way that it brings our community together. And I'll also put a plug in. We have a big arts festival the second weekend in June. So if you're thinking of a great time to come to Providence, come down for PVD Fest. Check out pvdfest.com. It's also a great time to experience all the artistic qualities and support our creative community that our city offers.
Well, I really appreciate it. I think that I've learned a lot about what you can do as a mayor and why the right people should run for office. And I'm very encouraged by your message here today. Thank you so much, Mayor Alorzo, for joining the podcast today. Before we finish here, do you have any passing words for people who may be thinking about getting involved?
Yes, you should run. Period.
Excellent. Period. End of sentence. Thank you so much. Please follow us and subscribe on the You Should Run podcast. Follow You Should Run Pod on Twitter, and follow Jorge Alorzo at Jorge Alorzo on Twitter as well. I'll put the link here as I share this podcast. You have a great day and good luck in Providence.
Thanks so much. You too. Take care, Tony.